I'm Barbara Lewis, filling in for John Kroll. Coming up on this No Limits, we're talking about the high unemployment rate for people with disabilities. There are companies and organizations dedicated to finding, training, and hiring them. And we'll be talking about one initiative in particular by Citizens Energy Group. The utility company is partnering with Tangram Business Resources in an aggressive effort to hire more people with disabilities. My guests this hour are Tomiko Kendrick, the Disability and Inclusion Manager at Citizens Energy Group, and Steve Kloss of Tangram Business Resourcing. We hope you'll join our conversation. There's many ways to contact us. Our phone number is 866-476-3881. Our email is nolimits@wfyi.org. You can reach us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or send us a tweet at WFYI. Join us for No Limits, coming up right after the news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I'm Barbara Lewis, and I'm filling in for host John Kroll, who is on vacation this week. Today, we're talking about the high unemployment rate for people with disabilities and the efforts of two organizations in Indiana dedicated to lowering that rate. Joining me is Steve Klossy of Tangram Business Resources. He is a life coach for people with disabilities. Tangram is a 501c3 organization that helps locate, train, and find jobs for people with disabilities. Steve, welcome.
Thank you.
And Tomiko Kendrick is the Disability and Inclusion Manager at Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is partnering with Tangram to hire more people with disabilities. Tomiko, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
And we'll be opening up the phones, taking your questions later in the program. So you can reach us by calling this number, 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org or send us your question by Facebook, No Limits WFYI, or send us a tweet at WFYI. But first, it's so good to have you both in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
So, Steve, we're more familiar about Tomiko's organization,
right,
her company, than Tangram. So give us kind of an overview of what your organization does.
Sure. Tangram has been in business serving individuals with disabilities for over 30 years. And a couple of years ago, we started Tangram Business Resourcing in an effort to help companies build disability inclusion programs within their companies. And we partnered with a gentleman by the name of James Emmett, who is a national corporate disability strategist. He was the lead strategist for the Walgreen Initiative. And Walgreens, I have to mention, has one of the strongest disability inclusion programs in the country. So we partnered with James, and we are currently working with companies to not only help them build disability inclusion programs within the company, but to also help them recruit, hire, and onboard people with disabilities.
Okay. And Tomiko, why is it important for Citizens Energy Group to really, you know, go full throttle on this initiative?
Well, at Citizens, we believe that all of our individuals must be respected in our workforce, and that they contribute to the opportunity and have the opportunity to maximize their potential at Citizens Energy Group. We're trying to position ourselves as a leader in the diversity industry, not only in Central Indiana, but in the state of Indiana as well.
Okay. And then for the people that aren't familiar with Citizens Energy Group, what does your utility company all encompass?
Citizens is a public charitable trust, and we offer affordable gas and water rates to all of our customer base.
So Steve, what's the demand? There's a demand because the unemployment rate is for people with disabilities.
Right.
But I'm wondering, in terms of companies wanting to partner, what really is the need that you're finding out there?
We're just finding that, you know, particularly with baby boomers retiring, that there is a large need for recruiting from what is currently a highly untapped resource for employees, and that's with people with disabilities. The unemployment rate is about 30 to 40% higher for people with disabilities than it is for people without disabilities. And so companies are starting to realize that they're, by not looking at people with disabilities as employees, that they're really missing out on a large untapped pool of potential employees.
Okay. And for this conversation and for your organization,
right,
what's the definition of people with disabilities?
They're actually, it's probably larger than what you would think. There are more what we would call visible disabilities, like individuals who may have cerebral palsy, Down syndrome. And then there are also hidden disabilities, such as maybe someone that is on the autism spectrum, someone with a learning disability, ADD and whatnot. Diabetes, for example, falls under the definition of a disability.
Really?
So,
okay.
Yes, it's actually quite large.
Mm-hmm. And then, Tomiko, kind of give us a history of what you've been doing up to this point before for this partnership. I mean, how inclusive has Citizens Energy Group been in the past?
About a year ago, Citizens launched its diversity strategic plan for the overall organization. And under the goals that were outlined in that plan, we have done some things in the area of promoting us women in the workforce, becoming more culturally inclusive in our workforce, specifically with the disability inclusive and veteran inclusive workforce. We've hired people from not only Tangram, but through our own website. So those are some of the things that we've done over the past year as it relates to diversity and inclusion.
And what was the impetus a year ago? I mean, what started this extra effort?
Well, Citizens has always been a strong promoter of diversity and inclusion. Our previous CEO was an advocate for diversity and inclusion for the organization, and we decided that it just made good business sense for us to be committed to diversity and inclusion. It builds to diversify our workforce. It was rooted in the conviction that it would produce better decision-making for our trust.
We always love data, and we talked a little bit about 30% plus unemployment rate higher for people with disabilities than those without disabilities. But let's get a little more specific, okay. Steve. I mean, what is the unemployment rate of people with disabilities? I remember it being like a little bit over 10%, but
it's closer to 40.
Really?
It is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
And with your ability to do you track how successful your company has been in getting people hired and how long they're retained by that employer? I mean, are those numbers that I know I'm asking, you've got all these notes in front of you because you
yes.
prepared, and I'm not
right.
sure
if
this is a number that you have in your head.
No, actually, we are tracking that. We have a one-of-a-kind database that's pretty impressive. It's called Workforce Accelerator. And if I could just talk about that for
sure.
a brief minute. Workforce Accelerator is patent pending. It's a one-of-a-kind matching database for people with disabilities to find jobs. And how Workforce Accelerator works, the individual with the disability and veterans, I might mm-hmm. add, can put their information in the database free of charge. And they list, they answer a battery of questions, about 25 questions that are based on their education, their interests, their work experience. On the other side, we have employers then putting in their open positions in Workforce Accelerator. And they're answering similar questions, and they're weighting the importance of those questions based on that open position. And this Workforce Accelerator has an algorithm that actually matches an individual with a disability or a veteran that's in the database with open positions that the employer has posted in Workforce Accelerator. And if an individual is a certain percentage of a match, their information is sent to the employer, and the employer then directs them on how they can move forward with applying for the open position. And through that database, we're also able to track individuals who are interviewed and individuals who are actually hired.
Okay, so for Tangram, are you vetting these candidates or helping them prepare? I mean, what is your kind of touch on,
sure.
on this connection here?
Sure. Anyone honestly can go into Workforce Accelerator and put themselves in. They don't need to go through us or any other agencies. With that being said, we are working with other agencies around the Central Indiana area and nationally, I might add. This is a national project for us. Partner agencies that help people with disabilities get jobs, and veteran organizations that help veterans find employment. So they have access to Workforce Accelerator and can put their individuals in there, again, free of charge.
Okay. And Tomiko, how does your company utilize this accelerator program?
We partnered with Tangram a few months back, and typically what we do, we list on our website the partnership between Tangram and ourselves so that people will know that we are hiring people with disabilities, as well as veterans. We typically, once we get the resume, our HR generalists in the Human Resources Department will review the resumes. We know that they come from Tangram based on the Workforce Accelerator tool that Steve just mentioned, and we take them through the hiring process.
And how has that, have you gotten reports back from the human resources employees about how streamlined that is or how well that is working to find the right person for the right job?
Yes, obviously people with disabilities are just like people without disabilities when it comes to their qualifications and their skills. Most recently, we have hired we've hired three people in our call center, and they are now going through the process of drug testing and background check and things like that.
Okay. So do you have a goal as to how many people with disabilities, you know, that you hope to hire, or is it just kind of a fluid thing right now?
It's not a specific number. We would like to hire as many as are qualified, as jobs are available. And we like to make sure that sometimes it takes a little bit more time to recruit from that community. But if it takes us a little bit more time, we believe that the return on investment will be more positive than not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Let's, Steve, if you would, mm-hmm. Let's broaden this out a little bit to kind of a big picture of the state of employment for people with disabilities in the country. Mm-hmm. You said this is a national program. What are the real challenges here for them? I mean, what are you hearing from potential employees?
I think it's a big part of it is getting in front of employers. Mm-hmm. Some of what we've heard from some of the companies that we're working with that want to hire people with disabilities, they don't know where to go. And that's not only locally, but it's also nationally. So that's why that's part of the reason for Workforce Accelerator, so that companies can get their open positions out there. But I also think there's some fear and stigma with hiring people with disabilities. And we do – one of the things that Tangram Business Resourcing does do is they go in and do disability etiquette training with upper management. And we talk about fears and stigmas and do even disability-specific training with management so that the management team within a company is comfortable not only interviewing a person with a disability but supervising them as well. Honestly, the safety record for people with disabilities is better than their non-disabled peers. Their productivity is at or above their non-disabled peers, and the rate of absenteeism and turnover is also lower. And that's not something that's known to a lot of people, and it's a real misnomer to think otherwise.
Okay. I understand kind of retention and turnover, but what do you mean by the safety record?
Well, for example, we've had individuals ask us if people with disabilities are more susceptible to injuries on the job, more vulnerable to being hurt. And that, in fact, is not the case. In fact, individuals who are hearing impaired or deaf have a higher safety record on, say, forklifts, believe it or not, than their non-disabled peers. So.
And I think maybe there's a fear, one of the fears might be that it would cost more,
right,
somehow doing the upfront accommodations, mm-hmm, for someone with physical disabilities might be something that, well, you know, if we invest in this employee, we're going to have to invest more and,
right,
and will we retain them? And is that a one of the fears on companies' parts?
It is. And quite honestly, most accommodations cost little to nothing. The median cost for an accommodation is about $25. So again, yes, I've seen that as a fear of companies, but it's usually not the case.
Okay. And Tomiko, tell me a little bit about the internal, as much as you can, of kind of the internal dialogue of starting this initiative and if there were fears and concerns.
Yes, I can start off by giving you some of the feedback from the managers who have been trained by the Tangram staff. Initially, they did have some fears and some stigmas, but to dispel those myths, the training program that they went through just kind of gave them an aha moment, made them feel a lot more comfortable about hiring people with disabilities and really more enthusiastic and excited about hiring people with disabilities because of the benefits that come along with it.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the benefits that they have come to realize?
Some of the benefits recently I've heard talk from our management team that the people with disabilities that they've hired tend to work harder work smarter. As Steve mentioned, the safety records are very similar to people who don't have disabilities. So, and there is not a cost pro, you know, this is not very cost prohibitive. He mentioned with proper planning and, you know, training and knowledge that the accommodations are simple and pretty inexpensive.
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to mention about citizens and the reason, one of the reasons their disability inclusion initiative has been so successful is that it's coming from the top.
Sure.
And that there's buy-in at the top. And I think that's one of the best ways to make your disability inclusion project a successful one.
Yeah, we'll talk more about okay. that after this Great. Break. You're listening to No Limits. I'm Barbara Lewis, filling in for John Kroll, who is on vacation. Our topic, hiring people with disabilities. Our guests are Steve Clossy and also Tamika Kendrick. And we will talk more when we come back. Please stay with us. Welcome back. You're listening to No Limits. I'm Barbara Lewis, filling in for John Kroll, who's on vacation. We're talking about the high unemployment rate for people with disabilities. And we're talking to two representatives from organizations who are really trying to lower that rate. Tamika Kendrick is the Disability and Inclusion Manager at Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is partnering with Tangram to hire more people with disabilities. Steve Clossy of Tangram Business Resourcing. He's a life coach for people with disabilities. Tangram is a 501c3 organization that helps locate, train, and find jobs for people with disabilities and a lot more than that. I know I'm probably summarizing it. And just for clarification, Steve, let's talk again about the unemployment rate, because I think it's just kind of mind-boggling, the percentage of people with disabilities who want to work but can't find work.
Correct. Yeah, the unemployment rate is actually more at 70%. Which is, again, 30 to 40% higher than individuals without disabilities. Even individuals with disabilities, a little over 8% who have bachelor's degree or higher have trouble finding employment.
What have the obstacles been? Because, I mean, that is a tremendously high
rate. Well, like, as I mentioned earlier, you know, getting in front of the employer. Also, it makes it very difficult for people with disabilities to get into a company if they do not have already have a disability inclusion program in place. Like I mentioned earlier, also, you know, it's so important that this come from the upper management of an organization, because if there's not buy-in there. Say, for example, an individual is hired by a store manager, which is great. That happens quite often. There's store management turnover that a new manager may not necessarily buy into a disability inclusion program, and that individual could risk losing their job. However, if this disability inclusion program is coming from the top, the likelihood of management turnover, say at a store level, for example, is less likely to cost the individual their job.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, I'm thinking that, you know, if you're a big company or a mm-hmm. corporation, it might be easier to set up a program, or is it possible for very small companies or individuals, you know, entrepreneurs
right.
to do this?
Not necessarily. We're working with small local companies here in Indianapolis, and we're also working with some national companies as well, and working out in California, Arizona, Texas with this project.
Okay. And Tamika, when you started this project, how cumbersome or how easy was it when you're talking about a company as big as Citizens Energy Group, which is a pretty big company?
Yes, actually, we are 1,200 employees, but we have a huge customer base. Our previous CEO, again, just kind of blazed the trail for diversity and inclusion, which also included making diversity a value for the organization. And under that value, even the current CEO has a strong commitment to diversity and making this organization a more, not just disability inclusive, but a more culturally inclusive organization as a whole.
You mentioned a couple of employees, three employees just got hired at your call center. I was just wondering what the job opportunities were for people with disabilities at your company?
Well, most recently, the opportunities were the customer service representatives and meter readers. We're still in the process of working with Tangram to place people in our meter reading department. They'll be going through the interview process here within the next few weeks. So we're looking for that part of the business to be as successful as the call center. Right.
And when we started our partnership with Citizens, we went in and actually looked very closely at the workplace culture, the work environment. We worked and looked very closely at the meter reader positions as well as the call center position so that as we're helping them recruit individuals with disabilities, we know exactly what is involved with these positions. Because the one, if don't take anything else away from this, what I would like folks to take away is that this is not about charity. This is not giving people with disabilities a job because they feel bad for people with disabilities. They need to be able to perform the essential functions of all the jobs, just like individuals without disabilities. So it is not about charity.
Okay, and exactly. I know there will be some questions about what these jobs actually entail. I think I know what a meter reader does. I think I know what a right. call center employee does. But having never been either, and certainly not for any experience with Citizens Energy, Tamika, what? Let's take each position one by one. So a call center worker, what would they do?
A call center individual would take incoming calls from our customers, whether it's a gas or water service customer. They would provide them information about their bill, information about their services. They will take leak orders. They will also provide any information the customer asks for. It's obviously in a call center environment. They are doing research on investigative type research on any issues that might come up and just serving our customer in that way.
You sound like problem solvers would be
a lot of problem solving, obviously. And they do, I think they do get a lot of compliments on their customer service levels as well.
Okay. And then meter readers.
The meter readers typically go out to the homes as well as the commercial buildings to read the gas and water meters. It's a very physical job. They are walking approximately maybe 5 miles a day. So it's a positive physical thing as well as could be very tiring as well.
Now, are these two positions where you have a lot of turnover? I mean, are these technically ones that you do have frequent openings for?
Yes, that's exactly the reason why we targeted or piloted those two areas. We also promote other positions to people with disabilities as well in the accounting, marketing, and other areas of the organization.
Okay. And then, Steve, can you give us a little example, too, about these two positions and how you go about kind of finding the right people for them?
Sure. Well, Workforce Accelerator is probably the most important tool or the most effective tool in finding individuals because Tamiko has put those positions in there. And so if an individual with disability puts themselves in Workforce Accelerator and they're a good match for the job, that's going to show up. We've actually gone out and worked those jobs. We've shadowed at the call center. We've shadowed and with the meter readers so that we have a really good understanding of what all is involved so that if we're working with an individual with a disability, it gives us a little bit better idea of what is expected and whether or not they can do the job.
Mm-hmm. And Tamiko, how much coaching or mentoring do you do once someone is hired?
Once a person is hired, if for some reason they have any challenges with this partnership, Tangram has been really well working with us and providing resources for things like accommodations and those types of things. If we have a person, what we found is that people with disabilities that are already even in the workforce that we weren't aware of because they did not self-disclose have been coming forth as a result of this program.
Great point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And do you find that people, people without disabilities versus people with disabilities, do they need the same amount of attention or are you?
I would say yes. People with disabilities probably need less attention because they come to work and they try to work harder to prove themselves. They don't have to necessarily do that, but that's just kind of one of the characteristics of a person who is grateful to come to work, and they tend to be very loyal to the organization.
Yeah, that's a great point. People with disabilities are incredibly loyal, and they are less likely to leave your company for a 25-cent raise to go down the street to the competitor. Mm-hmm. Once they have found a certain comfort level and a good place, they tend to stay.
But also, I guess what I was thinking, too, is if you have a 70% unemployment rate, you're going to do everything you can if you finally do get a job to hold on to it.
Sure.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. There's part of that, Steve. How have you found kind of that kind of contentness or that happiness? I mean, do you feel like the retention rate is due to a good match, or is the retention rate due to kind of a limited supply of jobs?
I think a little bit of both. I think it's a supply, and it's also the fact that people with disabilities want to work like everyone else, and so, like I said, if it's a good placement and it's a good match, the good match is probably the most important piece. If it's a bad match, just like it would be for any of us, if it's a bad match, the likelihood of us being a tenured employee isn't good.
And the key really, right, is if you have more companies with more jobs, for people with disabilities, you have a better prospect of finding a job.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about the kind of convincing the businesses.
Right.
To have a program like Citizens does. I mean, I understand there's some tax benefits. I mean, let's delve into that a little bit deeper. We touched on it earlier. But
there are tax benefits. There are also organizations like ours that can help, like Tamika was mentioning with Citizens, help support a company that wants to do a disability inclusion program. I think that the training of management is really key. And organizations like Citizens in particular, we saw such a welcoming and open culture before we even came in regards to hiring people with disabilities. But I think for a business, just knowing that you are tapping from a largely untapped resource and that you have the support of a company like ours, if additional training or supervisory support is needed down the road, to know that you have that.
Mm-hmm. And Tamika, what was the training like for your managers at Citizens?
The initial training was to just, the initial part of it was to dispel the myths. We wanted to get rid of those stigmas and those myths before we could actually move on, because that prohibited a lot of people from wanting or feeling comfortable enough to hire a person with disability. That was the first part. And then we went into the different types of disabilities that people could have. And then we followed up with a third phase in making sure that the managers effectively manage people with disabilities like they managed anyone else, and adhering to the practices and policies that were in place.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that the training, how did the managers receive the training? Were they welcome it or feel like, I know what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, and like with any training, initially there's some, here we go again kind of thing. But once they went through the process, I heard only positive feedback. They were so glad that we were doing this. They were excited about it. They learned a lot. They learned about the people with disability, the community at large. So they were very excited about this program coming to Citizens and they felt like they were more well equipped to take on this type of initiative for our organization.
And we felt that feeling from the beginning, moments of working with Citizens, just that open culture.
Yeah, because one of the things that, and Steve mentioned this, is that we were not only tapping into a workforce that was underemployed, but we were tapping into a highly skilled workforce. People with disabilities, that I don't have the exact statistics, but a lot of them are highly educated and ready to come to work just like anyone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you mentioned Vietnam vets or vets?
Vets.
Because there are a lot
military
of
vets in
military
general.
Vets in
right,
general.
Right.
Okay. So what? How much of a what percentage does that make up of the percentage of people with disabilities, would you say, are vets?
The veterans?
Veterans.
You know, honestly, I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I also think about if diabetes is included, I mean, we have a obesity epidemic and a diabetes epidemic in Indiana, that could quickly swarm your resources.
It absolutely, absolutely could. And as Tamiko mentioned earlier, they probably, and they found out, I think, once the program started at Citizens, already have people with disabilities working for them. But oftentimes people with disabilities fear disclosing their disability.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But as she mentioned, I think some folks have come forward since this program started at Citizens and have disclosed the fact that they have a disability.
Yeah, one particular story that I can share, we have a person who was hired through Tangram who was a person with disability who also happens to be a veteran. And this person actually talked about his goals and dreams of, you know, working. He thought he would be receiving disability compensation for the rest of his life. But now that he works for Citizens, he's actually been the spokesperson for our veteran celebration the past year. He was able to tell his story, and telling his story just really wowed employees to move forward and to push harder, even in their day-to-day work. I know people, they see him, he's like one of our top meter readers, and they see him, they're pushing themselves 100% because they don't want, you know, a person with disabilities to outshine them in the workplace, so that they actually motivate people unintentionally sometimes when they tell their stories.
And I'm wondering, too, about, you know, we all just want to fit in, you know, so you want right. the job and you want to get hired. And the fact that you have disabilities is a liability. So you do, you know, sign up and on this accelerator and you get the job. But once you're in, how do you find the employees? You know, do they just kind of just want to be one of the gang and let's not keep talking about the disability? Or are they proud to be one of those people who beat the odds with the 70% unemployment rate and have this job at Citizens?
I think you find a little bit of both. We have people who are excited about, you know, being able to come to work and feel a part of the team. They can, again, share their story about what they've done and what they've been through, and proud to come to work for an organization who values diversity. So I think you find a little bit of both. And others want to be just treated like a person, a able person, and don't, you know, magnify the fact that they have a disability. So you find a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. And so you and the folks in your human resources department and the coworkers just kind of find that balance of
yes.
what, you know, responding to somebody on as an individual rather than,
right.
than a group of people.
Right.
And what's your experience been then, Steve, in that just, you know, how they want to be looked at?
I would concur with Tomiko. That's yeah. been our experience, you know, that some do and some don't. And
mm-hmm.
so I think it's just about being them wanting to be able to perform the job and doing the best they can, just like any of us do in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for businesses mm-hmm. and recruiting, I was just wondering if there were some kind of shining examples. You mentioned one, but are there some national companies that you can point at and say, boy, they're doing a great job?
There are. I mentioned James Emmett, mm-hmm. a national disability consultant that we're partnering with. He has worked, obviously, with Walgreens, and he was the lead strategist for the program that they rolled out. But Best Buy, UPS, there are several Office Max that are doing a fantastic job of disability inclusion. We're actually working with a national retailer. I don't want to mention their name right now, only because they're about to do their big media blitz
okay.
and roll out to announce it. So I don't want to steal their thunder. But they are actually hiring people with disabilities in their distribution centers, their full-line stores, and their call centers. And we're working with them nationally. And so they want to also be a leader in disability inclusion.
Okay. And then obviously Citizens,
and
you've been working
locally,
for.
Right, right. And a shining example of disability inclusion at Citizens.
Yeah, we encourage larger employers to start disability inclusive initiatives. We only have 1,200 employees, so we don't have as many opportunities as some of the larger players, Fortune 500
right.
companies do.
Mm-hmm. Have you had some interest from other Indianapolis or Indiana companies to see what you're doing?
I've talked to several organizations here locally to tell them about what we've done. I think Tangram actually is probably working with two of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the other important thing for companies to think about, we talked a little bit earlier about the loyalty of the disability community. There's a buying power of almost $800 billion within the disability community, and that doesn't include their friends and family. And people with disabilities tend to want to shop and spend their money with companies that are seen as leaders or that have disability inclusion projects within their organization.
And I suppose that resonates well with businesses that are in the business of making money. money exactly. that they want customers.
Exactly. And some of the disability, you know, inclusion stuff that companies are doing and the training that we're doing for companies is not only helping them with their disability workforce, but customers who might have disabilities and helping them better assist their customers.
Okay, let's take a short break here. You're listening to No Limits. I'm Barbara Lewis. I'm filling in for the vacationing John Kroll. Our topic is hiring people with disabilities. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 866-476-3881. That is 866-476-3881. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm Barbara Lewis, filling in for John Kroll, who's on vacation. And we're talking about hiring people with disabilities, why it's wonderful for the people with disabilities to find work, but also why it's great for the companies and why it's great for the community to be more inclusive. My guests are Steve Clossy of Tangram Business Resourcing. He's a life coach for people with disabilities, and we need to talk more about that. And Tomiko Kendrick. She is the Disability and Inclusion Manager at Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is partnering with Tangram to hire more people with disabilities. And let's start off with this comment from Facebook here. Let me go over here so I can read it. So here's the question. What paperwork, doctor, or determinations are required to be considered disabled? Steve, that sounds like a good one for you.
Well, as far as the Workforce Accelerator is concerned, there is no proof of, or documentation needed. An individual just has to check a disclaimer stating that they have a disability.
Okay. And if someone has not found employment since 2009, be indicative of someone with a disability possessing an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree, let me see. What would the guests like people with disabilities to know if they're struggling to find work or being denied work? I'll go back to that other question earlier. So when I make a little more sense of that, my fault, not the questioner. So a question from Shannon. What would the guests like people with disabilities to know if they're struggling to find work or being denied work? Sounds like a good one for both of you. Who wants to take that one first?
I'll start by saying that we would be more than happy to chat with an individual who may be having trouble finding employment or who has, you know, large gaps in their employment history. There are a lot of qualified candidates out there that for many different reasons may have gaps in their employment history and may need the support from an agency like Tangram to help them get in front of employers. So I would encourage that particular individual to contact us, and we could talk maybe more specifically about maybe why they're not getting in front of employers and haven't found employment in over 2 years.
Okay.
I would just concur with what Steve said, just to know not to give up, because there are agencies out there who will support you in finding gainful employment, and understand that there are organizations who do have programs that may not be externally highlighted like some of these programs have been today.
Okay. So for the meter reader and for the call center worker, what's the level of education that someone needs to qualify for those two jobs?
For a meter reader, we would require age 18 years of age or older and high school diploma.
Okay.
Other attributes would be helpful if they had outdoor work in the construction field or delivery field, anything that they've done outside that they have to weather the elements. And that's basically it. And they will be paid, I consider it a well-compensated.
Can you give us a range?
Between $14 and $15 an hour to start, yes.
And then the call center workers?
In the call center, the minimum requirement would be a high school diploma, obviously age 18 years of age. If you've had call center experience, it's helpful. However, it's not required. We value customer service abilities in our organization. Obviously, that's the base of our business, is satisfying our customers with unparalleled success and excellence. So to be a call center representative, you just have to have exceptional customer service skills, whether it's retail, call center, or other customer service background.
Steve, so the majority of the jobs, and I know I'm asking you to generalize, and that's
sure.
probably not fair, but the majority of the jobs, are they for people that have the high school diploma, or are there jobs for people with master's and bachelor's degrees?
It's all over the board, to be honest with
really?
You. Yeah, there are hourly positions, there are salaried positions, non-degree, degreed. So mm-hmm. it's really all over the board.
Mm-hmm. And so there isn't kind of a, you know, if you were saying that somebody came to you and said, well, I have a master's degree, would you say that they're like in, you know, the people without disabilities, that they might have a leg up, or they might be, it might not, just not matter? I guess I'm getting at kind of the types of jobs that tend to be available.
That tend to be available, sure. You know, they are predominantly the hourly positions that don't necessarily require degrees, but at the same time, I don't want to exclude the degree requirements, because there are a lot of positions that are that do require degrees. It's honestly all over the board.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree with that. Some statistics say that there's 1 in 5 Americans who have a disability, which equals 49 million people. Of the 120 million employed Americans, 16 million of them have a disability, and they are working jobs all over the board, like Steve said, executives, machine operators, managers, sales workers, mechanics, teachers, accountants, all across the board.
And Tamiko, do people with disabilities have to go through this accelerator, or can they just apply directly to
they
citizens?
They can apply directly to citizens if they want to. And if they need additional assistance, obviously the great partnership that we've had, we would help provide any resources through our Tangram partnership.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to? It goes back to the Facebook question. I mean, do they have to have some sort of proof of their disability?
No. No, they don't have to have any specific proof. They just have to disclose that they have a disability. Now, if there are accommodations, they have to let us know what those accommodations are so that we can assist. But other than that, they do not have to disclose that they have a disability.
Okay.
And I would just like to add kind of along those lines that if we have listeners with disabilities that are listening and they're not working with an agency, you can still put your information in Workforce Accelerator. Some folks may have a vocational rehabilitation case open or a ticket to work ticket, and that's great also. But anybody with a disability, or again, a veteran, I tend to leave that out when I'm talking about Workforce Accelerator, can put their information in for free.
Okay. I just want to make a kind of diversion here. Kathy Wingard, who sent us a statement, and we're talking about now about what the state is doing in terms of hiring people with disabilities. And she writes in a brief email, employment is an issue of critical importance to people with disabilities. Increasing competitive, integrated employment opportunities for people with disabilities is paramount. Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services administers several federally funded programs designed to remove barriers that can stand in the way of people with disabilities from joining the workforce. If any of your listeners are interested, they can learn more about Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services at www.in.gov/IPAS. So that's in.gov. IPAS. And thank you very much, Kathy, for that note. And it gets to, I think, again, nationally and statewide, how have things changed, Steve? How long have you been working in this field, I guess, is my preliminary question.
I've been in this field for a little over 20 years.
Okay. So you mm-hmm. have seen some changes.
I have. Okay. I have. You know, there are still, you know, sheltered work environments for people with disability, but my personal or Tangram's vision or mission for people with disabilities is very similar to what she just wrote, in that they should be integrated into the community and be employed in competitive employment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So would you say it's easier for people with disabilities now to find employment? I mean, things have changed economically. 2008 comes to mind. Things have changed.
I think there's more awareness. I don't know that it's necessarily easier, because we still have an incredibly high unemployment rate for people mm-hmm. with disabilities. But I think, you know, with programs and initiatives like Citizens and getting the word out about what Citizens and other fantastic organizations are doing, I'm hoping that other employers will start to think about disability inclusion programs or even contact companies that are doing it, like Citizens, and get their perspective and get their feedback on how it's worked for them. I know Walgreens has always been open to other companies contacting them to talk about their highly successful disability inclusion program.
Yeah, and Tomiko, I saw you nodding your head.
Yes, we're always open to sharing best practices in this initiative.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you said that briefly. You said that there has been some interest. Do you wait for people to come to you, or do you kind of shout it from the rooftops here about what you're doing?
We do a little bit of both. When we're out networking with other organizations on our strategic plan for diversity and inclusion and the CEO's commitment to diversity, we, you know, let them know what we're doing, not just, hiring people with disabilities, but we have, goals that allow programs for, ex-felons and veterans and the whole nine yards. So, and when people come to us, our chief diversity officer is very open to allowing us to go out and speak with other organizations to promote them to start a program.
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh, no. Speaking of the diversity piece, more often than not, when you talk to companies about diversity, they talk race, gender. And it's really sometimes rare that you will hear individuals with companies mention disability as part of a diversity program. And so we're trying to bring more awareness that that can, hiring people with disabilities adds to your diversity as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And has that been pretty well received? I mean, when you kind of point that out, I would imagine that businesses go, yeah, I understand.
They do. It's kind of like an aha moment for them. Like, oh, yeah, we hadn't really thought of that. But it's certainly a big piece of it and should be.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about physical disabilities mm-hmm. now. I'm just wondering, in your 20 years experience, how much technology has played a role in making it easier or different for people to find work or at least excel on the job once they do have the job?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't keep up with the technology, but obviously the technology has evolved has been a real help to individuals that need the assistive technology. And there are agencies here in Indianapolis that specialize in the assistive technology that can help folks with that.
Mm-hmm. And how close do you work with other other companies that have those sort of resources?
That's a great question. We've reached out to all of those agencies locally, and particularly for the Workforce Accelerator. We don't have – Tangram doesn't have the capacity to serve lots of people with disabilities as far as finding them jobs. So we have called on and talked with about every other organization in Central Indiana, encouraging them to get their folks into Workforce Accelerator, and they can, if it's a job coach with a different company, Citizens can work with that job coach if their person gets the job. But it's, trying to get the agencies. And on the national level, I mentioned the national retailer earlier, we're helping them find disability partners in the regions of the country that they're trying to recruit people with disabilities, because that's our area of expertise, not the company. So we help them find those resources.
Okay, so you are listed as a life coach.
I am.
And what does...
I am.
That sounds great. I think we all need to hire Steve. I mean, what do you do? That sounds wonderful.
Well, that's another business line of Tangram's that we started about 4 years ago. Traditionally, Tangram, for the last 30 years, has always served individuals with more significant disabilities for community inclusion and residential programs. And what we started to see was there was a large population of individuals, particularly young adults, who didn't, after high school, necessarily qualify for traditional Medicaid-funded programs, yet they had disabilities, a lot of hidden disabilities like mental health issues, ADHD, learning disabilities, dyslexia. And they were used to having programs and things in place for them in high school. They graduate from high school, and there's no more support there. And they tend to fall onto mom and dad for holistic all life areas, and mom and dad at some point don't want to play that role of life coach. So it's a private pay service that we started about 4 years ago that helps young adults that have disabilities be more successful and independent in all life areas.
And Tomiko, let's talk a little bit about this one specific life area of getting a job. Is there anything that makes a candidate stand out? So I know when we talk about disabilities, we're talking about a lot of different ones. But when somebody comes in and applies for the job, is it, there something that either they can prepare beforehand or try to do during that interview that just seems to make it a little easier to say, yes, we want to hire you?
Well, that's an interesting question. Citizens conducts what we call behavioral interviews. We're a firm believer that past behavior predicts future performance. So to prepare for an interview, we ask people to just be upfront and honest and let us know exactly what their background is, what their skill set is, so that we match their skill set with the requirements and essential functions of the job, basically.
And I forgot to follow up when I asked Steve about the technology question. I'm guessing this would be more the call center rather than the meter reader jobs, which require a lot of, you know, a physical ability. So for the call center, I mean, do you have different adaptive devices that some of your people with disabilities use?
We do. We will make those accommodations if our people with disabilities ask for them. There are some computers that have technology and apps on them that increase maybe the size of the letters for maybe a visually impaired person and that type of thing. I myself can't keep up with technology in today's world. So I believe that technology has played a very huge part in allowing us to employ people with disabilities as well.
Okay. In the few minutes we have left, I want to make sure that I'm asking you or you're being able to get out the messages that you really think are important for the audience to understand the significance of the problem of high unemployment and the reason why you're working both so hard to lower the high unemployment rate for people with disabilities. Steve, anything you want to, you know, make sure that you can repeat yourself?
Well, okay. I'll probably do that. I'm good at that. I just would really like to stress the fact that it's about getting the right candidate for the job and that this is not about charity. It's finding the best candidate for the job. And, you know, there'll be times when that isn't the person with the disability. But we are not asking employers to hire someone because they think they need a job or because they think it's the right thing to do. It should be about the business's bottom line and make good business sense for the business.
Mm-hmm. And Tamiko?
I would say our mission overall, and again, just to concur what Steve said, the number one reason to hire persons with disabilities is because, you know, they're qualified. It's not just the right thing to do. Like he said, there's so many benefits beyond the skills that you can reap as a result of it. Citizens' mission, diversity mission, is simply reflecting the core values that created our public charitable trust 100 years ago. We believe that, you know, creating a diverse workforce in the community, within our community as well, with our stakeholders and with our employers, that's our number one vision.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I talked to a small business owner about a year ago and was talking to him about hiring people with disabilities. And he said to me, well, I had a person working here with a disability a couple of years ago and it didn't work out. And, you know, my comeback was to that, well, how many people over the years without disabilities, you know, haven't worked out? Maybe it just wasn't a good job match.
Right. All right. Well, Steve Clossy and Tamiko Kendrick, thank you both for being such wonderful guests. And I'll be back on Tuesday with two authors, Elizabeth Gilbert, author of Eat, Pray, Love. You may have heard of her or seen the movie. She'll join her friend and Indianapolis resident, Iva Nusser, to talk about Iva's book, Rifles to Roses, Memories and Miracles. And Iva just sounds like a force to be reckoned with. I hope you'll join me at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, July 28th. And thank you to our guests, our staff, our callers, and our listeners. You can always find us at WFYI.org.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive Producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.